Throughout the spring and summer of 2001, the world's most powerful security apparatus collected and issued warnings of what appeared to be a forthcoming attack on the United States, its allies, or its interests. It was more than a threat to America. It was a threat to them. They were the stewards of American power. The CIA, the National Security Agency, the uniformed military, the FBI, and all the other intelligence and law enforcement adjuncts that made the U.S. the dominant global force of the post-Cold War era. Whatever cultural attraction, financial engine, and diplomatic architecture America offered, it was their might that guaranteed America's preeminence. What in turn guaranteed the power of this security state was its ability to keep Americans safe at home. The security state had succeeded so thoroughly that America exercised its strength abroad while taking its own domestic safety for granted. America acted. As the global hegemon, it was not acted upon. That assumption was part of a civic religion, as old as the country itself, known as American exceptionalism. The prerogative that America, by destiny as much as by right, set terms for the world that it was not itself bound by. A global policeman's doctrine of qualified immunity. Indications of an emergency accumulated as the summer advanced. The system was blinking red, the CIA director, George Tenet, would later recall. For more than 2 years, out of public view, Tenet had considered himself at war with the enemy he was tracking, a group called Al-Qaeda. By August 6th, a briefing prepared for President George W. Bush was specifically titled, Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. The CIA could not provide Bush with a date, time, or location for any potential attack, specificity it considered beyond reasonable expectations for intelligence. The security state hoped that providing a general strategic warning would be enough to spur Bush into urgency. Yet the president responded to the report by telling his Al-Qaeda briefer, Michael Morell, "Okay, Michael, you've covered your ass." The CIA knew much about Osama bin Laden, an impossibly wealthy Saudi construction scion who had turned religious militant. Bin Laden had declared war on the United States because, for over 7 years, America has been occupying the lands of Islam in its holiest of places, he explained in his 1998 communique. The Arabian Peninsula has never, since God made it flat, created its desert and encircled it with seas, been stormed by any forces like the Crusader armies spreading in it like locusts, eating its riches, and wiping out its plantations. Since it underwrote the world order, America was ultimately responsible for the cheapness of Muslim life worldwide, the Iraqis it starved and bombed, all those tortured and slain by America's allies in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, Yemen, Pakistan, and beyond, and even the deaths caused by American rivals or enemies, like Chechens killed by Russians or Bosnian Muslims exterminated by Bosnian Serbs. Bin Laden's charisma obscured the conspiratorial nature of his critique. Here was a billionaire who had given up a life of opulence to defend his co-religionists against the Soviet Union and Afghanistan. Miraculously, that is, thanks to the indomitable guerrillas of Afghanistan and support from Riyadh, Islamabad, and Satanic Washington, something he preferred not to emphasize, Bin Laden's side won. Now, as he targeted the only remaining superpower, he told Muslims they could redeem all the humiliation they felt. All it required was violence. Violence that wasn't just permissible, but holy. Bin Laden sought to force America to abandon its grip on the Muslim world. Knowing by now how superpowers work, all he needed was to provoke it into unsustainable military campaigns.